Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, greetings, Grapple fans. It's time for episode 96. Would you believe it? Episode 96 of the Pro Wrestling Index podcast right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Ah, my word, I can barely get my words out. I've been watching that much wrestling. No, I haven't. And, well, we've got a bit to talk about this week because this past weekend, it was in fact Backlash. And I'd forgotten I'd even watched the show. That's how good it was. But there's still some good bits to talk about. And with me tonight is none other than my audio tag team partner, Mr. Mo Chatra. How are you doing, Mo? It's been a little while since we've done this, just me and you.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm doing really, really good. Looking forward to a few weeks of... detoxing. I've got Ramadan coming up, so I won't be appearing on here for a few weeks, but looking forward to that and starving myself to death almost for 20 hours a day for about a month. But no, sucker for punishment me, so looking forward to that. How about yourself, Andy?
Well, I can't claim to have anywhere near that kind of discipline. So I'll just be working, loafing around and watching TV and out there with the kids playing football and watching football and all those kind of just humdrum day-to-day things. And, of course, watching WWE and trying to catch up on NXT because I've not watched that for a while. But as I said at the start there, Mo, I watched Backlash at the beginning of the week, and I almost forgot that I'd even watched the show. That's how much it gripped me. What about yourself overall? How did you find it as a show in general?
Thought it was one of the, if not the worst pay-per-views from WWE in years. Superb opening match on the main show, and then it just fell off a cliff from there. Really, so little to say positively about the show. It was just really, really disappointing. I had high hopes for it when Guy and I previewed it last week. We thought there were actually several matches on the show which could be really, really good. But other than the opener, everything else was below par, and in some cases extremely well below par. So not a great night for the WWE, that's for sure.
No, it's certainly not a classic. It's not one of those when we talk about our favourite shows of the year and great moments. This one's unlikely to make it. It might make the other list. Let's see. I mean, there's still time for them. And the way that they are creatively booking some of these matches and some of these storylines, who knows, there might be there might yet be more to outdo it in terms of the negativity. But I mean, let's talk about the most positive thing at the start. You mentioned it, and I certainly agree with you. It's a great start to it. The Seth Rollins versus the Miz Intercontinental Championship match, great way to kick the show off. Really, really good match. Seth Rollins is you know, no pun intended here, but he is absolutely on fire at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he has been arguably the best in-ring performer for the WWE. In terms of the main brands, Raw and SmackDown, in 2018, last two, 3 weeks, he's really been in exceptional form. Had this fantastic match with The Miz here. Had a great, great match against Finn Balor on Raw. Looked really good at WrestleMania as well. So he has been tearing it up. And, you know, about time as well. I mean, you know, think back to when he was the WWE champion. He was just about looking like the best worker on the planet, in fact. He was that good. And obviously with injuries and then losing momentum with heel turn and the face turn and that not quite working out for him and, you know, various other things. You know, he lost a lot of momentum, but last several months he's really been turning things around. And you know, think back just a couple of weeks to Raw in Montreal, the reception he got was unbelievable. So yeah, he's really kind of picking things up. And you know, I've got really high hopes that, you know, he gets back into the title reckoning for the Universal Championship, because, you know, there's only so many times that they can go with Brock and Reigns, and they need to go some different directions. And Brock versus Seth, they've sort of been there before, and I think, you know, now's the time that they can go back there again.
Yeah, I certainly agree. It's echo that, and you know, when he came back from the, well, before the injury, he was, yeah, arguably the best in the company. The injury obviously derailed, and then he came back, and it was that whole thing with the character, wasn't it? His return naturally brought him a babyface reaction, but they insisted with having him back as the heel, which I think didn't really help. And then to turn him babyface, the whole thing didn't quite work, but it seems like it's almost like it's organically taken shape. I think the reunification of the Shield was almost what really sort of got him back on track. And ever since then, obviously the Dean Ambrose injury, there was that little bit there with Jason Jordan, which was a bit of a bump in the road, but he's really sort of organically found his way into this babyface role. And the crowd are really getting behind him, and I think as much as anything, it's almost reminding me of back to sort of mid-90s Shawn Michaels, the way that he's performing in the ring, and that Shawn Michaels almost organically became a babyface just because of how good he was in the ring, that the crowd loved him. And it's, for me, there's a definite sort of hint of that about him.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a very good comparison. And, you know, it certainly feels like, you know, the whole gimmick, the character, it doesn't feel as forced and contrived as it did, you know, when he first went babyface. And, you know, I think that's why he's getting much better reaction now. And, you know, it's good to see, because he's a really talented performer. And, you know, he can be a real asset for the WWE. So I'm glad that things are starting to look up for him. And I just hope that the WWE doesn't ruin this by booking him in a feud with some waste of time like a Bray Wyatt.
I think that is the next thing now, is the next, what's next for this? Because it was natural that they had to kind of close the chapter on with The Miz associated with the Intercontinental title due a rematch, and obviously he's moved across to SmackDown. So it was closing off that book naturally. You think the next thing then is this continuation with Finn Balor and allowing this to kind of evolve? I've got to say, I've got a feeling that this is going to move towards the point where we see the Demon Finn Balor back, and potentially even the title changing hands, and then maybe allowing Seth Rollins to move on to the Universal title picture?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, you know, with Finn, it's quite an interesting one. Clearly, they're booking it in such a way that, you know, there's a friendly rivalry there, but, you know, if they want to go in a slightly different direction, then, you know, they might just decide to go a fully blown heel with Finn. And, you know, there's certainly scope to go in that direction. But, you know, perhaps one or two more, close losses to Rollins could kind of tip him over the edge. And we could see that character come out, but we could also see, a heel turn to go with it potentially as well. And that's something that they might look to do, in the build up to, in the lead up to SummerSlam with a big, contest there. But, you know, that kind of feud and the matches that would produce, would certainly be far better for Seth, and even Finn, than booking him in meaningless matches and feuds with, guys that will drag him down. You know, they will elevate each other, because of how good they are. And, you know, we need to see more of that in this company.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And it's great to see the Intercontinental title showcased in this fashion. And not just showcased by a name, but also the work that's put on in the ring with it. Because that takes me back to, I used to love Intercontinental title matches because the Intercontinental Championship was the workers' title. And I grew up watching the likes of Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Shawn Michaels, and more besides. And it was... They were often some of the best matches on the card. So it's great to see the Intercontinental title showcased in this manner. Next up was the Raw Women's Championship. I'm trying to think of the words to describe this. And I'm struggling other than crap, to be quite honest. This was just not good at all, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, now, Nia Jax isn't one of the better workers in the female division. And, you know, if she has the right opponent, and the agents, you know, lay out a good match, then, you know, she can, get her way through a decent contest. But, you know, this wasn't one of those. This really was, a disappointing match, had no real heat. And most disappointingly, I thought made Alexa look bad as well. Which is something you don't want to do with somebody that's gotten over so well over the last 12 months. To put all of that hard work in to get a character over in that way, and then to see that damage to an extent with a performance in there like this, you know, that's something you just don't want to see. And it's not necessarily Nia's fault. There's a bigger picture with her. Obviously, WWE is trying to present itself as something that is very attuned to having, you know, its corporate social responsibility and the whole anti-bullying message. And that's all well and good. But, you know, that is at the same time coming at the expense of arguably its highest female performer in the company, Alexa Bliss. So, you know, the message is being, you know, presented well and,
a bit contrived, I think was one of the accusations, and especially with the promo afterwards. I mean, in itself, you know, to see someone so physically dominating, and that is the way that she's been portrayed, hasn't she? Nia Jax predominantly is so physically dominating, to suddenly that she is the sympathetic, babyface. It just feels a bit odd. And then, yeah, the promo afterwards, I mean, it's been described as so utterly contrived that it's almost been counterproductive.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're not careful, then it'll have the opposite effect, and, you know, people start booing Nia, which is what they certainly don't want. But, you know, and I could go into the absolutely blatant hypocrisy of WWE of all people.
Yep, Vince McMahon of all people.
Yeah, I mean, this is a company that is notorious for bullying employees. Absolutely notorious. And still goes on to this day. Not nowhere as bad as it used to be, but it still exists. And, you know, for them to be portraying this kind of stuff, it just makes me laugh. But for other people, it probably evokes a different reaction. But no, it's the kind of stuff that has been done, but I think they're overdoing it now. And if they're not careful, it really kind of work against them and Nia Jax. And as a storyline, you know, I think it has started to cause damage to Alexa. So they need to think very carefully about where they're going with all of this, because, you know, if they go a bit too far, then everyone will suffer, and that's not how you should book pro wrestling.
Absolutely not. After that, we had 12 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. That was Jeff Hardy defeating Randy Orton in the United States Championship match. I must admit, I've never been the biggest Jeff Hardy fan. And he used to get gassed in his prime. He's past his prime now, and he was pretty much gassed after a couple of minutes. And Randy Orton had long since stopped caring. This, you know, my only question, well, one of my questions would be, why did this have to last 12 minutes?
Well, when somebody like Randy Orton is involved, then it's rare that they go for short, sharp, snappy matches. You know, the match agent for this as well was Arn Anderson. And, you know, Anderson is old school, and, you know, he will book something that is a bit slower paced and tries to tell a story. But, you know, the only real achievement from this was, you know, sending people to sleep. Even though it was only 12 minutes, it felt like a long 12 minutes. And, you know, yes, I know obviously there are those that are not keen on Jeff Hardy, but, you know, with the right opponent, he can still have an exciting match. Whereas with Randy Orton, watching him just feels more and more like a chore. It really is hard work. And, you know, when he spends a quarter of the match in a headlock, or chin lock rather, you know, it really does start to suck the life out of you. Orton just has nothing to offer at this stage. And, you know, I would say he's almost on a par with a Bray Wyatt. They're mentioning him again. As somebody who, you know, you just have no interest in seeing. And for somebody that's achieved so much in the company, for a person that has had so many great matches over his career in the WWE as well, for him to be evoking this kind of apathetic response from fans, this indifference, that really is not good. And I think, again, the WWE needs to think about what they're doing with him as well, because, you know, he's not really had much of a character makeover for the better part of 10 years. And, you know, he feels as stale as any performer in the whole company. And, you know, it's really high time that they do something different with him. And maybe he himself isn't really bothered. Maybe he thinks, right, I'm picking up my $1 million a year. Don't really care. It's just a job. I'll turn up, pick up my money.
Yeah.
Spend my 15 minutes doing my thing, go home.
It looks that way. It certainly does look that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had Daniel Bryan in the ring as well in this event, and Big Cass was, I guess he was fairly limited before the injury. Obviously he's going to take a bit of time to get back into it. I'm sure there's something there for them to work with and develop over time, but he's certainly not there yet. This was not great. Not a Daniel Bryan classic by any means. And what happened after it, I guess, in a way makes sense, and certainly got heat on Cass, but, I almost had that sense of dread that, oh, we're going to continue with this, you know, and they're going to keep pushing this whole little man thing. It's just, how many times do we have to see this?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that the plan was probably for Big Cass to actually win in this match. But word is that he defied orders. So he had an angle with a short-statured wrestler, a midget, on SmackDown a couple of weeks back, and he was only supposed to lay him out with a big boot, but he did more than that, which went against the script, and apparently this was his punishment, as well as being kept off of SmackDown this week as well. So he's only got himself to blame. In a way, I kind of wonder if between he and Enzo, they've got perhaps three brain cells between them, because the company clearly wants to do big things with Big Cass, but, you know, it was a simple instruction.
Yeah,
don't
I think.
Up the midget.
Yeah, I think maybe I'd be inclined to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. You know, first occasion is to say maybe he got a bit carried away. You know that, you know, you just come back from injury, opportunity, you know, to shine and all the rest of it. Maybe you just got a bit carried away.
Yeah,
live TV and all
that.
That
he originally had that discussion with the agents and they said no, and then he went to Vince, and you don't normally go to Vince for things like this, but he went to Vince and he said no, and he still did it anyway, and I think
that's why
he was in the other time.
Yep.
It really wasn't clever when Vince says no and he follows his orders, then you know that's not very smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously, the afters after the match themselves would kind of indicate that there's more to come. But, yeah, he's got to be smarter. Let's see what happens. And hopefully, you know, this is short-lived and Daniel Bryan can move on to the big hitters. Again, no pun intended. And we can start seeing Daniel Bryan involved in some mouth-watering rivalries and some absolutely fantastic matches because... You know, let's not beat around the bush here. That's what we want to see. You know, this guy is just incredible. So we want to see him in the ring with the best around on a regular basis again. Next was the SmackDown Women's Championship. Carmella defeating Charlotte in, I'm going to say it was a god awful match. And totally understand Carmella keeping the title. And obviously they're not going to take it off her just yet. But more, honestly, I hope that a title reign is not going to be long, is not going to be a long one. And to be quite frank, I don't think it can be because she's gone backwards, if anything.
Yeah, this was just baffling. Bear in mind that the loser in this match is the individual that just a few weeks ago broke the streak, Asuka streak. So it just evidences the argument that many are making that, you know, the booking is terrible at this moment in time. And it's hard to argue when you look at something like this. You know, Carmella obviously had to cash in. Well, she didn't have to cash in the Money in the Bank, but they decided that that's where they wanted to go with her. But, you know, she is the Enzo of the SmackDown Women's Division. Just so poor, in terms of in-ring. As a personality, she's okay as a heel. She's supposed to be irritating and annoying.
Oh, she's good at that then. Well. Yeah, she's certainly good at that bit. Her shrieking and screaming really grates on me.
She's got that down to a T, but, when it comes to working a match, I think, She has some work. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that a lot of the girls on the NXT roster were better than Charlotte, than Carmella. You know, that's how poor she is. But, you know, she unfortunately dragged Charlotte down to her level, and it was a very poor match. No getting away from that. In fact, I'd argue it was worse than the Raw Women's Championship match from earlier in the show.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It was for me, it was quite easily the worst match of the night.
Mm. So yeah, but I mean, where they go with this, who knows, to an extent, who cares, until they get the title off of her, I think fans won't really, be invested in the women's division or the women's championship till they get it onto someone more deserving and we start seeing some better quality matches and feuds. But until then, we'll have to suffer through it.
Yeah. Now, what of the WWE Championship match? There's no disqualification match between AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura. I personally have liked the way that this feud between them has been building. I like the heel turn from Shinsuke. I like the way he's getting across as a heel now, and he's the little nuances. I've been enjoying that. And I've got to say more. When he hit the low blow, I thought, here we are, we're going for a title change. And the title change on the low blow, it was like, okay, that totally makes sense storyline-wise with how this has been going. But, yeah, that wasn't what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, with this, the ending was just absolutely ridiculous. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
It was such a cheap finish, and I really didn't understand how anyone could have sat there in the production meeting or even in the booking meetings in Stanford in the lead up to this show, came up with the idea of a double count out and thought, yeah, that's a great idea, especially when you've got a no DQ stipulation.
I've got to say more, not in that fashion, not the way it was. It was so stupid and silly. If for a double, for in a no disqualification match, you've got the opportunity maybe for, you know, that they battered each other with weapons, maybe chairs or whatever, then you could have got away with that. You know, they'd smashed each other so hard with weapons that you could actually get away with it, but not in the way that they did it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. It was just, very poorly thought out. Execution was not good. And, it was made all the worse by the fact that, I thought up until that final 30 seconds to a minute, it was building up to be their best match, in the company thus far. It was really turning into a pretty good one. And we were 20 odd minutes in and I thought, okay, they might be looking to go maybe half an hour. And, you know, if they really go to town in those last, 10 minutes, it could turn out to be a heck of a match. But yet again, we were deprived of that. And, it just, again, does nothing for either character. And this is a theme now. You know, you go through the matches on this show, poor booking, has only damaged the momentum pushes for individuals up and down the card thus far of the matches that we've covered. And you can't even blame the writers for this, because I would say that this is more the people you call the producers or the agents, the guys that lay out the matches, you know, and they've got, as I said earlier, the likes of Arne Anderson and Michael Pierce Hayes and Jamie Noble and
Who's booking? I mean, it's a SmackDown side, isn't it? So who's in charge of the booking on the SmackDown side that says, okay, yeah, let's go for it. We go for a double crotch kick as a no contest finish to a no DQ match. I mean, who signs that off?
Well, the agent for this match was Jamie Noble. He was the guy who worked with Nakamura and Styles and laid the match out. And sometimes they might have to kind of go through it with or get the approval from somebody like sometimes a Triple H or even Vince. I mean, Noble isn't the person that would have come up with the decision to go with a double count out. So that decision would have been made by the writers and probably Vince ultimately. But then in terms of the layout of the match, that would have been Gibson, Jamie Noble even. And so, I mean, he probably did the best as he could do, given that he knew that the match had to finish on a very unsavoury note. And that's why I think the match up until then was pretty decent. It was just a horrible, horrible finish. And I would suspect that ultimately came from Vince. I think that he probably made the call.
There's been a lot of fingers being pointed towards Road Dogg and, you know, his involvement with SmackDown. So you think maybe ultimately maybe not his decision on this one then?
No. You know, a lot of times when you see some of the more strange and nonsensical match endings, I think Vince's fingerprints are all over them. I think if you look at NXT, for example, where, you know, Vince is really not involved to any great extent, it's very, very, very rare to see really lame finishes. Whereas, you know, on the WWE main roster front, see them far more often.
Yeah, and I'm just, it, for some reason, when you're talking about that and Vince, it just took me back to the 90s. You remember Puke?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You remember that Beyond the Mat documentary and you saw him meeting him? He's going to puke. Yeah, and that's his gimmick. He throws up after a match. Mm. He makes himself puke and like, yeah. So, yeah, it's like you said, look, it's a real shame. What was developing into a really good match, and I thought, you know, it actually made sense in the way that it had been scripted up to this point, that if we'd seen a title switch at that point with a low blow, it would make perfect storyline sense. But, you know, to then end with a double crotch kick, like, oh. They've really got to, it's going to take something to turn this around, and hopefully we can quickly move past that. Do you see the title switching over to Nakamura over the next month or two then, or however long that they decide to move this along?
Yes, I mean, when Guy and I previewed the show last week, we were very confident that we would see a title change here. I recall us both predicting that Nakamura would become the new champion, and it would have been the ideal way to keep the feud going, keep it interesting, keep it strong. Obviously, Nakamura is a heel. There's interest and intrigue in the new direction he's going in, and what would be better to add spice to that than to have him become the new WWE champion? It might be that they've decided to hold fire and defer it until the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and perhaps have a title change there with a view of keeping the feud going until maybe SummerSlam, and maybe they want to stretch out until then. But, you know, it was just disappointing all round, because I thought it was a really good time, opportunity, to make a title change, and with a new no DQ stipulation as well, they could have come up with a clever finish which allowed them to have the title change whilst not, but while still protecting AJ Styles. And, that was forsaken for, this cheap finish. And, it was just a really dumb decision in my view.
Yeah, the cheap finish. That's probably the best way to describe it. Next up was Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley beating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Didn't take long. Not great this for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, being presented as fodder for Braun Strowman effectively. I've got to say, more the only interest that I had during this match was the potential of seeing Bobby Lashley turn on Braun Strowman. Other than that, I just wanted this done, and I want Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to move on.
Yeah, not quite. When Guy and I previewed this last week, we thought that it could well be a turn with Lashley turning on Strowman, but WWE swerved us, so instead we got Owens and Zayn turning on each other effectively, and Zayn cost Owens, and the match was over, and yet again, disappointing match. And for me, this is worrying, because Kevin Owens, looked like an amazing, amazing talent, one of the best two or three talents in the whole company, as little as a year ago or 18 months ago. And since then, it's just been one disappointing match and program and feud, after another. And, that's just been what's surprising about all of this. This guy just pointed out in the chat, Kevin Owens has just signed a 5-year deal as well. So, he's obviously around for the long term. And yet,
needs better booking.
Dropped away.
I think he just needs better booking, because I think the way he's being presented is not, it's too much along, as much as we enjoyed his run with Chris Jericho and it was entertaining, I think it's almost the same and maybe too much along that comedy type, buffoonery character. And I think we really need to see the Kevin Owens that we saw in NXT, more of that type of a heel, and let him run on his own. Because I think like that, he's just dynamite.
Yeah, or even in his first, full year in the WWE, you think back to when he debuted on the main roster, feuding with John Cena, having exceptional matches, really looking like a special talent. And he's fallen away, and he looked just like an ordinary guy here. And that was really disappointing. And I'm not sure how much time it will take to repair the damage, because I think there is quite a lot there. He gets a decent reaction, but not the kind of reactions he was getting maybe a year or two back. And we're now going to likely see Owens and Zayn going at it again. And as good as they can be, we've seen that done to death, and just have no interest in seeing Owens and Zayn feuding again. But this was more bad booking, and really I felt none of the four came out of it looking strong. It was just dumb all round once more.
So last match of the night, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe. Certainly this has not been received too well. I've got to say, it might be the old school in me, but I kind of liked the slow start to this, just a Samoa Joe kind of dominating, and the way that he was building it slowly throughout the early parts of the match. But maybe that's just not right for the main event of a show. And it just, I mean, of one thing, I mean, really, why is it the main event? Is, you know, it's not a major title. It's not a world title. It's not any kind of title. It's not for anything other than it's just two people having a match. So slightly odd that it was as the main event as well. But match quality wise, what did you think? Did it not live up to expectations, or was it pretty much what you did expect?
No, when we previewed it last week, we thought that it could well be match of the night, and Reigns, you know, when it comes to pay per view matches, is normally exceptional, consistently very, very good at sending a good match, and Samoa Joe is a fantastic worker, and so therefore expectations were really high that even without titles at stake, they could still assemble something really, really good. And it fell comfortably short of those expectations. It didn't really click. And, I mean, going back to one of your other points, having this ahead of, the WWE Championship arguably devalues the WWE Championship. You know, the fact that it's just, on the undercard when it should always be, the main event or semi-main event. And, you know, we didn't get that, I think, because they decided to go with that screwy finish. But in terms of the match itself, clearly the fans rejected it. They coming up with all sorts of chants during the match and effectively shitting all over the match because they didn't want to see Roman Reigns out there. They're just absolutely fed up with the way that he's booked and portrayed. And, you know, it's, you know, disappointing. I mean, it's disrespectful to the guys out there. You know, they're trying to go out there and have a good match. But, you know, it's not a reaction to them. It's more a reaction to the way that the company decides to continually ignore its fan base. And, you know, we've got this battle of wills now between Vince and those in power and the WWE Universe, as they call it. And, you know, unfortunately for Roman Reigns, he is the, individual that's stuck in the middle. And until the WWE, you know, decides to go in a different direction with him, you know, we'll probably see more of this. We'll probably see more reactions.
Do you expect that change to happen though at all? I mean, cause I think we keep getting little subtle nuances here and there. Maybe that's just Roman Reigns himself almost giving us hints that he'd like to, you know, go for that change of character. You know, I think as much as anything, maybe, you know, he wants to just get that monkey off his back and move on so the crowd can move on and then we can all start again. And then maybe one day he can organically become the babyface that Vince really wants him to be. But do you think that is going to be allowed to happen?
Well, we thought about, you know, the possibility of that happening with John Cena for years and years, and they never pull the trigger. And, you know, there have been so many occasions over the last 3 years when they could have gone in that direction and, okay, let's turn him heel, and then maybe that will be the thing that can help him ultimately get the fans on his side, and we can then turn him face again, and it can be done in a more organic way. But they just have this real reluctance to do that. And I think it's stubbornness. I can't think of any other reason other than them not wanting to give the fan base the satisfaction that they've been able to sway the direction that the company wants to go in when it comes to its chosen one. And that's what Roman Reigns is. And, we saw it with Cena. They refused to turn him heel. And, you know, they refused to do the same with, Reigns, and there's nothing that really suggests to me that they'll do it again. Now, the company's making money, huge amounts of money, record-breaking amounts of money, so there's no real incentive for them to give the fans what they want. I mean, ratings are not good at the moment, and subscription numbers to the network are kind of up and down, but even then, you know, the money that the company's bringing in is at record levels, despite all of that. So, you know, they'll look at it and think, well, okay, fans are unhappy, but who cares? We're making more money than ever. So if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Mm. Do you think that maybe Reigns himself maybe at some point will put the pressure on, you know, to ask, can I do the change? Look, can you turn me? Let me do it. Let me have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, and it might be probable that he's actually asked that already, but WWE is very image conscious, and you know, they've invested a lot of time and money into him being almost like the face of the company in terms of full timers, now that Cena is effectively a part time act, and you know, they have him go out and do a lot of things with charities and other corporate events and sponsors, and having that individual as this heel that you know, it portrays himself in a certain way perhaps doesn't sit well with its corporate image. So as ludicrous as that sounds, you know, that's their thinking, I think. So that's why I think it's unlikely that they'll turn him, even if he has already asked for that to happen.
I guess we'll see what becomes over time. It's not good for Roman Reigns. I think that's something in this as well that should always be remembered, is, you know, Roman Reigns is the one at the suffering end of the stick. Every, you know, the reactions he's getting, the abuse that he's getting, when you think that the effort the guy's putting in, the improvements he's made in the ring, on the microphone, some of the matches he's been having, some of the views he's been involved in, you know, the guy's putting a tremendous amount of work, but he can never really get the appreciation that perhaps he deserves because of the way that he's been presented. And that's not really his fault, is it?
No, it's not. No. And I feel sorry for the guy, because, you know, he has worked hard and he's turned into a really good worker, especially big matches. You know, he delivers more often than not. But the company, you know, just insists on keeping him as a babyface, even though the fans don't want it, and I dare say that he doesn't even want it. I think he'd happily turn the heel tomorrow if he was given the opportunity. And, you know, really, turn on the fans. I think there's a lot of genuine, feeling towards certain sections of the fan base. But, yeah, not happy anytime soon by the looks of it.
So that was Backlash anyway. Not a great event, but certainly one great match in there, and it did ruffle some feathers. But before we go more, I know you've got a few bits of news that you'd like to share.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, just in terms of other things that have been going on, a lot of talk about Hulk Hogan and speculation that he is returning to the company imminently. TMZ reported that he is close to agreeing a deal. WWE put out something almost distancing themselves from that, but then at the same time didn't rule it out, interestingly. So no smoke without fire. There's a lot of talk that both sides have been talking to each other about him returning. He doesn't want to go out as somebody that was fired from the WWE due to the whole storm over those leaked tapes. You know, he wants to go out in a different way, and he probably thinks that he's got one more match. You know, he's 60.
Oh my word. Please, God, no.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
No, please. Yeah. Honestly, I'd rather see Ric Flair wrestle a broomstick. I have absolutely no interest in Hulk Hogan ever getting back in the ring again. His matches were limited enough when, you know, he was in his prime. Absolutely no interest in seeing him in his mid to late 60s with multiple knee and hip replacements, not to mention all the baggage that he now carries for what he was caught on camera doing and saying. I mean, you talked about corporate image with them, you know, reluctant to turn Roman Reigns heel. Yeah, they'd be quite happy to bring Hulk Hogan back. Or, well, let's say quite happy, but they'd consider bringing Hogan back. I mean, that'd be slightly hypocritical of them when they're quoting corporate values.
Oh, absolutely would. But, you know, that they talked to him regularly and they were together at an event only a few weeks ago, and Triple H and Hogan were pictured together. So, in other circumstances, they never have anything to do with him again. And I think that the way he was caught saying what he was saying, there is no excuse at all. There's no way of defending what he said. And furthermore, I don't think anyone could realistically accept him saying, well, no, he said it in the heat of the moment because he didn't, or that, you know, he's learned the error of his ways because, you know, he said these comments when he was, you know, it's one thing if you're like a 16-year-old, 15-year-old kid coming out with, ignorant comments, but, you know, he was making these comments when he was well into his 50s. And, it's fair to assume that, you know, he was saying what he really feels. And, you know, it's hard to think that when you're at that age that all of a sudden, after all this time, you're going to change, you know, your thinking on these types of matters. So, you know, I wouldn't buy it for one second if he apologized and said he does no longer hold these types of views. And, I don't think, many others would either. And I think the WWE would, get a lot of backlash. I mean, you think back to Fabulous Moolah and, that battle royal at WrestleMania being named after her, and fans through a backlash were able to, get the company to, remove her name in association with that battle royal. So, it'd only be much worse for the WWE if Hogan did officially come back, but, they brought back controversial figures in the past, and, they might just do it again with Hogan.
It might. I guess we'll see. Some news on Chris Jericho as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jericho, as we know, has been popping up here and there this year. Obviously, had a great match against Kenny Omega at New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom at the start of the year, and then we've obviously seen him in the WWE since then. Well, he was back in New Japan just a few days ago, attacked Tetsuya Naito, one of the top wrestlers in New Japan, jumped him, and he was standing at ringside in a mask and pretending to be a fan, and then jumped the rail, attacked him, and took the mask off after a bit of a struggle, and revealed himself. So that looks to be his next feud, and it looks like that will be a match possibly for Dominion, which is New Japan's next big show in June. But yeah, that's what Jericho's up to. So he's back in New Japan, and if his match with Omega is anything to go by, then he against Naito could be a really, really, really good match. So very much looking forward to that.
And your final piece of news on WWE UK shows, more?
Yeah, so WWE has decided that they want to take the WWE UK scene a bit more seriously. And just by total coincidence, it happens when ITV have decided to commission a 10-part World of Sport series, which they're taping this weekend in Norwich. So total coincidence that that's happened. WWE recently announced that they are taping a 2-day King of the Ring tournament in the Royal Albert Hall. and that's taking place next month in June. And they are talking about also coming out with more regular shows in the UK, likely TV tapings and possibly even some house shows, to give their contracted talents a few more shows to work on, because they've got the likes of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates and Trent Seven and two or three others under contract, but they very rarely work WWE shows. Three or four of them do get to work NXT tapings, but in terms of WWE events, that's about it. They are working, I believe, the WWE shows here in the UK at the moment, but to a large extent, it hasn't really delivered in the way that people were expecting when it all kicked off nearly 18 months ago. But yeah, I'm hopeful that after these tapings, we do see them a bit more often, and they get something going. And that has been taught for quite a while, that they wanted to expand its developmental system by opening up a UK-based performance centre, just like the one they've got in Orlando. And if they do that, that would be a great thing for the WWE, because this country really is a hotbed for talent, and that they could really do some good things with that. But for the time being, they've got a couple of dates booked for the Royal Albert Hall, and I believe those shows will be airing live on the WWE Network.
Oh, well, something to look forward to, because last time they were over, when we had the that inaugural UK tournament, it turned out to be a really, really good event. And obviously was the birth of Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, really sort of taking the scene by storm. I think it's fair to say, really grabbed the attention of a lot of people, Pete Dunne. So I think it's fair to say more that this could be an opportunity for somebody else from the UK to really make their mark and get themselves involved in that WWE scene.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They obviously featured a lot of new faces to the WWE audience with their original couple of dates nearly 18 months ago in Blackpool, and likely to see a number of those faces again at these tapings at the Royal Albert Hall. But then on top of that, we might see three or four other faces as well. Zach Gibson is one of those names that's been mentioned. Liverpool's number one, as he likes to call himself. So, definitely it should be an opportunity for other up-and-comers to really get the attention of the WWE. And if they do, then they can earn themselves a nice contract to have it. So all the best to all of those that do get that opportunity.
So there you go, folks. Something else to look forward to this summer. And yeah, as we get more on that, we will, of course, let you know about it here. So, but that's it for this edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. My thanks to Mo Chatra, and our thanks to each and every one of you for listening in and downloading the podcast. As always, we really do appreciate it. We're on Twitter at PW_index if you wish to keep in contact with us. But until then, till our next show, I'm Andy Wales saying bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.